Okay. Welcome to our finale here on the Love Boat Cruise. And for those who are joining us today for the first time, don't know what in the world you have walked yourself into here. What we've been doing ever since Easter for these holy 50 days, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the chapter in the Bible all about love. And we've taken this chapter apart, and we agreed that no matter what we do in life, that no matter how great we may be, and even we read the verse 2 when it talked about, though I have all faith that I could remove a mountain, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. And we came to the conclusion that all the stuff that we do, if it's done without love, is done worthlessly. And we also agreed that love and loving others is the link between the short-term spiritual boost that we all get and a sustained long-term spiritual like lifestyle. And we said that when our Lord Jesus Christ left this earth, the one thing that he focused on so much in those last days is that he was showing us his love, and he kept telling us to go and love others. So we've taken 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter that talks about love, and we saw how at the beginning that love is kind. And we saw what it means to be kind and to treat others with kindness. After that, we looked at love does not envy. And that was kind of like the flip side of the kind. We also looked at love speaks the truth, and how love is patient as well. Today is our final in the Love Boat series. And today's one of the most important. Today's topic of love is not like an action you do. But today's topic of love, the way I look at it, it's the plug or the stopper in the love bathtub. Okay? It's how to keep all the other factors in place without letting them sink through to the bottom. What we're going to talk about today is about love is forgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. From the New King James, says that love thinks no evil. And then in the NIV translation, gives us a little bit of a different taste of it, says that love keeps no record of wrongs. The bottom line is, why forgiveness is so important to any relationship is because the bottom line is that you will make mistakes, and whoever you're in a relationship with, not talking about dating relationships, just talking about people relationships, is going to make mistakes. And there's going to be errors made, and people are going to hurt one another, and there's no such thing as a long-term relationship without mistakes. So by the same token, there's no such thing as a long-term relationship that can survive without forgiveness. Forgiveness is what allows all the other factors of love that we talked about to continue in the long run. There's plenty of chairs up here. Like, there's like several chairs up here and over here. You guys need to grab more if you... Plenty of chairs. So, forgiveness is the ultimate test of love. Because it's very easy for me to be kind to a person, to be patient with a person, to speak the truth to the person, do all those loving things until that person hurts me, or offends me, or stabs me in the back, or walks in while I'm talking during the meeting and interrupts the meeting and gets chairs. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. It's easy to be loving when things are going good, but the bottom line is that there's no relationship where things are always going to be good. So we need to learn what forgiveness really is. One time there was a man who was talking to his counselor or his whatever. He's talking about his wife. He said, every time my wife and I fight, she gets historical. The counselor said, oh, you meant hysterical, right? He said, no, historical. She starts telling about everything I've ever done wrong since the beginning of time and blames everything in the world on me. That kind of love is not a forgiving kind of love. That's a love that keeps record of wrongs. Okay, but the love that we're trying to talk about, the godly kind of love, doesn't keep score. All right, doesn't hold on to stuff from the past. We usually do hold on to it in our back pocket so that when the person hurts me, I can hurt them back. It's like my ammunition. So you did this to me, I'm going to hold on to that, so that way when you mess up, I can start to throw it back at you. That's not a godly kind of love. What I think is that if you're honest with yourself, of all the aspects of love that we've discussed, forgiving is probably going to be the hardest for most of us here. Because forgiving is where it gets personal, where we have to is where the sacrifice of love really kicks in. So we want to figure out what forgiveness means. I discovered that most people have no idea what forgiveness is. I could take a survey of 10 different people and say, what does it mean to forgive so-and-so? And I get 10 different answers. Some people will say that it means that you have to be best friends with them. Some people it means to say you have to forget what they've done to you. Some people will say, no, just don't try to kill them. That means you've forgiven them. There's a lot of myths and misunderstandings about what forgiveness is. So I thought, let's take a little a forgiveness quiz. Humor me here for a little bit as I give you 5 true or false questions, and you see if you can get them right. Number one, a person should be forgiven, should not be forgiven until he asks for it. A person should not be forgiven until he asks for it. True or false? Right? Okay. I'm gonna ask the questions, and then we'll go through them all at the end. Okay? That's number one. Number two, forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. Split decision. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. Now we're getting a little bit more trickier here. Number four. You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten. Good, I like that answer. We'll touch that one. When I see someone hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. I think I proved my point that there's some kind of unclarity or lack of understanding exactly what forgiveness is. Let's go through these one by one. And before we see what forgiveness is, first we're going to see what forgiveness is not. All these statements are false. Every single one of them. And every single one of these tells you what forgiveness is not. And because, like I said, we have a wrong understanding of what forgiveness is, that's why we're hesitant to go near, or we water down forgiveness. Let's discuss these one by one. The first one. A person should not be forgiven until he asks for it? No. Forgiveness is not conditional. Write that down. Forgiveness is not conditional. The statement there says that you don't forgive until a person asks for forgiveness. That's a conditional statement. That I'll forgive you if or when you do something. True forgiveness is not something that must be earned. It's not something that has to be like bargained for. That I'll give you this if you give me this. Forgiveness, if you say, I will forgive you if you do the following. For the people who would like to say that, what would you do if God said that to you? I'll forgive you if, okay, on the cross, Christ prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What if he had said, Father, forgive them if they fast every Wednesday and Friday and never make a mistake? Forgive them if they never miss a day of prayer and Bible reading. Forgive them if they always come to church on time and never take communion if they come after the gospel. Forgive them if they never come late to Abuna Anthony's meeting and bring out chairs while he's talking and stuff like that. What would you do if God said that? That's not forgiveness. That's blackmail. Okay, that's coercion. That's trying to get you to do something. I give you this and you give me that. That's not what forgiveness. Real forgiveness, what we're going to see today, has nothing to do with the other person. Whether the other person apologizes or doesn't apologize, whether they say sorry or don't sorry, forgiveness has nothing to do with the person. Forgiveness has only to do with the action. Takes us to the second point. The question was, forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused? No. Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness is not saying, okay, no biggie. It wasn't that big a deal, no problem, let it go. Sometimes we are averse to forgiving because we say, no, how, and this was a big deal, and this and that. Forgiveness doesn't take away the bigness of the sin, and forgiveness doesn't act in a crazy way to say, like if someone does something to you, I'm not telling you the forgiveness to say, okay, it didn't bother me. A couple weeks ago, we had that whole Virginia Tech shooting thing. The mother of the victims should forgive the person, right? But that means she'd get up on the news and say, no big deal. It wasn't a problem. It didn't bother me that much. That's not forgiveness. It's insanity. Okay? And forgiveness doesn't equal being crazy. Forgiveness equals not minimizing the sin, but still forgiving the sin. Saying what you did was really, really, really bad. But again, I'm dealing not so much with the thing as much as with the person. Okay? It's not conditional. and our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. He didn't minimize our sin. He didn't say, forgive them because it wasn't that big a deal what they did to me. He said, what they did was bad, but forgive them anyway. Number three, forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without changes. This is one that a lot of us don't understand. You need to forgive so-and-so. No, I can't. Why? Because I can't hang out with them anymore and I can never be friends with them after what happened. I didn't say you got to be friends with them. I didn't say you got to be best friends. I didn't say you got to have dinner with them every night. But I'm saying you got to forgive them. Don't mix these two concepts together. There's forgiveness, and then there's like restoring the trust. You need to forgive the person right away. But that doesn't by any stretch of the imagination mean that the trust is restored and the relationship is back to normal, and again, you just ignore what happened. That doesn't make any sense. Forgiveness is what you do as the victim. Okay? Someone has offended me, I need to forgive them right away. Restoring the trust, that's what they do. That's the conditional part. Okay? That's what they need to apologize in order to get. Or they need to, like, make restitution. Or they need to, like, show you that it won't happen, whatever it may be. Okay? But that's different than forgiveness. If there's someone who is constantly offending you or hurting you or stabbing you in the back, or you tell them your secrets and they go out and blab it on your MySpace or on your Facebook or on your whatever, should you forgive them? Yes. Should you tell them the password to your computer? No. But the two aren't the same thing. Number four is that forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Now, wait a minute. I know I'm going to get some pushback on this one. What about the, haven't you ever heard of forgive and forget? And isn't it that nice little picture of Jesus that we always see that says, when I forgive, when I forget. And it's in quotes, so it must be some Bible verse. Show me where it says that in the Bible. Just because the picture says it, doesn't mean it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Everyone thinks it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. In fact, I can find you proof that when our Lord Jesus Christ forgives, he doesn't forget. How do I know that he's going to remember our sins for all of eternity? Because when he looks at his hands, he looks at his feet, what's there? What is, okay, our Lord Jesus Christ, when you see him with the risen Christ, is a glorified body. There's only a couple things that remain from the old body. Is the marks from the nails and the spear. Remember Thomas touched the marks and touched the, remember that? Okay, so the marks of my sin are always there. But those are not just the marks of my sin, they're the marks of my forgiveness. Okay? But it doesn't mean that you have to forget. Because again, that's sometimes what holds us back from forgiving. I can't forget what so-and-so did. Okay. I'm not telling you to forget it. But I'm telling you, you need to forgive it. I can't prove this scientifically, but I don't think it's even possible to try to forget something. I want you to try this out. Try to forget something. Like, try really, really hard to not, like, it can't even work that way. You can't force yourself to forget. So therefore, it can't be a prerequisite of forgiving. Because if we're supposed to forgive, then it can't be tied into forgetting because it's not even humanly possible to forget. They say, and again, I don't know how true this is, but the smart people in the room can correct me if I'm wrong, that your brain stores every memory that's ever happened to you in your life. Your brain is like a huge hard drive computer, and you only use like 5-10% of it or something like that. So when you can't remember stuff, it doesn't mean that it's not in there. It just means that it's stored away somewhere. And someone told me, again, I'm not saying this is true, but this is a person who's smarter than me, that a brain surgeon, okay, can go into your brain, and they can like stick you with stuff and like do stuff to you that can bring back all the memories in like vivid color from like all your life, because your brain's like a tape recorder. It's storing all these things. The bottom line is you can't force yourself to forget anything. Your brain won't let you, and it's impossible to even try. But what you can do is you can replace stuff. Okay, you may not be able to forget stuff, but you can like override stuff. All right, so you can replace, that guy's a jerk, or this guy really hurt me, or this situation was the worst in life. You can replace those things with, Father, forgive them, for he knows not what he does. You can replace that with, all things work together for good to those who love God. You can replace those with, no matter what happens to me, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can replace some of those things, but you can't say, I can't say that you can forget it. Especially when something's painful. The mother of a kid who was hit by a drunk driver, can forget that? I can go to my room and see that this is where the kid used to sleep and not remember what his name was? Is that possible? No. So forgetting has nothing to do with forgiving. Number five, the fifth myth. Forgiveness is not my right when I wasn't the one who was hurt. This one was kind of funny. When I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. Look here. The problem with this statement is this really waters down what forgiveness is. This makes forgiveness into something wishy-washy. That yes, I forgive the guy who did the Columbine thing. Okay, what the heck does that have to do with you? He didn't kill your kid. How would the mother of the Columbine kid feel for me to go around saying, yes, we should forgive, and look at me, I've forgiven so-and-so. And you know what, I'll tell you, you should forgive so-and-so as I've forgiven them. What the heck does that have to do with you? Only the one who's offended has the right to forgive. And the problem with this mentality is, it waters down what it means to forgive. So I can say, I've forgiven so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. This one, I may struggle with it. Well, forget about these. These have nothing to do with you. This is the one that you need to focus on with the forgiveness. So now I told you what forgiveness is not. It's not conditional. It's not minimizing the seriousness. It's not we're just going back to life as usual as if nothing happened. It's absolutely not forgetting. And it is not something that you do unless you're the one who was hurt. If that's what forgiveness is not, what we want to figure out for the rest of today is, what does forgiveness really look like? What is genuine forgiveness? Before I tell you what it is, let me tell you why it's so important that you understand it. You pray, every time you pray the Our Father. You probably pray that 10, 15 times a day. Okay? I don't know how many times. See, if you've been here at church in the beginning, I've prayed it probably 10, 20, 30 times, 100 times today, it seems like. Okay? And in it you pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our Lord gives like an explanation after giving the Our Father, Matthew 6, 14 to 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, I came to a conclusion when I understood what the Our Father meant. I have two choices in life. Either I learn how to forgive everybody who's ever offended me or trespassed against me, or I figure out a way to stop sinning. I haven't figured out number two yet. So therefore, I got to stick with number one. Because when you pray the Our Father, you're saying, forgive me the same way that I forgave so-and-so. We need to figure out what the right way of forgiveness is, because in the end, I'm the one who gets affected most by whether I'm a forgiving or not forgiving, because it comes back on me. I'll give you three characteristics of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, number one, is relinquishing my right to get even. This is the first step. This is step one. Someone offends you, someone hurts you, someone talks trash about you, someone steps on your foot. First thing you got to do is relinquish your right to get even. Natural reaction, you step on my foot, I would like to step on your foot. You cut in front of me, I would like to cut in front of you. You hurt me, I would like to hurt you. That's natural reaction is to retaliate an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's not the loving way to do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Bible says the true love has to be forgiving, and true forgiveness means don't retaliate. Wait a minute. I know what you're thinking right now. I can read your mind. But if I don't get them back, they're never going to learn their lesson. Someone's got to teach them a lesson. That guy needs to know, you shouldn't drive like that. You shouldn't be cutting off people like that. And that lady needs to know that it says seven items or less. Okay? And she needs to be taught a lesson. What's at the heart of all this stuff is, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that she can get away with that. It's not fair that he can do this and there's no consequence for his action. It's not fair. My answer? You are correct. It's not fair. But we're not talking about fairness. We can talk about fairness another week. Today we're talking about forgiveness. And forgiveness is not fair. Was it fair that you got forgiven your sins? Is it fair that you can do the worst thing in the world and all you have to do is come and repent and say I'm sorry and confess and say a few nice words to Buddha and you're forgiven? Is that fair? Is that fair that all the best, I know the best stuff I've done in my life. Is that fair that all of it's been wiped away off my slate? And I don't see what the fairness has to do with anything. Fairness is not the criteria that we're operating by. We're operating by grace. Okay? And if you want fairness, you can have it. But you gotta be the first one in line for fairness. So if you want that guy to receive the reward or the punishment for his sin, then you step up first. I love the people who think that guy is a liar and he said wrong things about me and he needs to pay. Well, do you think the same thing about when you slightly fudged on your resume and slightly fudged on your taxes? Well, that's a different kind of a lie, right? That one doesn't deserve to be punished. Or when so-and-so just saw you and they left you and they didn't help you. Wait a minute, maybe we've been in sometimes situations, but for us, we were busy. Like, I was busy and I wanted to help, but I was just busy. So, is this supposed to be judged the same way? Since you're Captain Fairness today and you're Captain Justice. Life isn't about fair. And anyone who wants fair needs to apply it to themselves first. But isn't God just? Isn't God fair? Like, is God fair or not fair? Yeah, God is fair, but the key is realizing that fairness is God's job, not yours. Okay? So yes, there will be fairness. Okay? And those who have been mistreated or whatever, or those who are doing the mistreating, there will be fairness. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but there will be. The point is, it's not your responsibility. It's not yours. You know how, like, when you're in the street and you see a kid misbehave? Like, I can beat my own kid, but I can't beat someone else's kid. It's not my duty to beat the other kid in the street who's mouthing off to his mom or whatever. It's my job to beat my own kid when he does that. Okay? Same thing. You can't go around being Captain Justice to all of God's kids. It's his job. Okay? And he's the one who will make it be fairness in the end. Even if it's not fair today. His job is fair. What's my job? My job is forgive. Okay, my job is forgive. My job is forgive today. His job is fair, whether it's tomorrow or the next day or whatever it may be. Let him do his job and you just stick with doing your job. If you can't do that, you're going to get into this horrible cycle of what's fair, not fair, and bitter and resent, and how could that guy get away with this, and all kinds of just bad emotions that is of no value to you, okay? When you start talking about who deserves what. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 gives us some good advice. It says, pursue peace with all people. Why? It says in the second half there. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. What is he saying right there? He's saying, let stuff go. Learn how to make peace with people, and not to, like I said, require justice when any time anyone makes a mistake. Why? Lest any bitterness spring up inside you, because that bitterness, I promise you, will hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt them. We think that being angry with the other person and being bitter and being resentful, we do it because deep inside we have this feeling like, if I don't do it, they're getting away scot-free. But this somehow, like, sticks it to them. I know people who are sticking it to them on the inside, and this person has, like, long moved. They, like, live in another state. They've repented. They've gotten their life together. They moved on. And this person's back here, inside, sticking it to them every day, and the voodoo dolls and all this kind of stuff, and sticking it to them with bitterness and resentment. Who's the one who is getting stuck to them? It's this guy. He's not willing to let it go. Resentment and bitterness hurts only one person. It's you. Doesn't affect the other person. And it's the only way that that person, okay, the guy who hurt you yesterday, cannot hurt you today unless you allow him through bitterness and resentment and stuff like that. So we got to give up our right to get even. Okay? No keeping score here. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't keep score with us. That when we mess up, He gives us forgiveness. There's no tally at the end and say, okay, but don't forget you did this, 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 and that. So we need to be the same way. And we need to trust that He will be fair even when things don't seem like they're fair. So that's the first thing, is that someone offends me, automatically first response is I relinquish my right to get even. But you know what? That's not all forgiveness is. That's only step one. And if you do step one and stop there, you can be just like the people in the world who are nice people or trying to be whatever, humanitarians or whatever. That's what they would do. But Christianity takes the next step. Not only do I relinquish my right to get even, but I respond to evil with good. I respond to evil with good. So the first thing is, you hurt me, I don't hurt back. Okay? I don't hurt back. But it doesn't stop there. That's where Christianity begins. That's page one of Christianity, is the next step. Is now you repay good. Not only do I not retaliate, but I do good. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Loving your enemies tells us to do three things. Do good, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. I got news for you. Part of forgiveness is doing good for the person who has offended you. This is where forgiveness gets hard. I can not get even, but do good. I cannot lash back and snap back. But you're saying to, like, say good things back, compliment, thank you, appreciate it. I cannot sit and stew about it. But you want me to pray that God blesses the other person? Let's make this practical. Those who are working. The backstabbing jerk guy who lied and did this, and he took your promotion. You were supposed to get that promotion, and he weaseled his way into it. You're supposed to congratulate him and help him set up his new office and wish him the best and pray that he's successful in it. That's what I see. Forgiveness is not... That's what I'm saying. We don't understand what forgiveness is. Some of us stop at the first step and say, okay, I've forgiven. I'm just here to tell you that forgiveness equals doing good, blessing those who curse you, and praying for those who spitefully use you. I'm not saying you got to be best friends with him. I already cleared that up. But what I am saying is, on the inside... Even on the outside, but the inside is more difficult. Like, I think we can do the outside easy in an insincere way. But on the inside, I have to wish him well. Can I pray for that person? Can I really pray for them? Not pray in a, God forgive them for what they did, kind of a way. Not that kind of a prayer. In a real, sincere, like, God, you know what? They hurt me. You know what? I don't wish them any harm. You know what? What happens, happens. Hopefully, things work out for them. Whoa! That's really not fair! That's what the Bible says. Forgiveness is more than just not seeking bad. Forgiveness is seeking good. How can I say that? Because that's, again, the model of forgiveness that you have been given. When you sinned, and when you continue to sin, does God just say, okay... Okay, I won't kill you, and I won't open up the earth and smite you down. No. He says, come here. Let me help you get out of this sin. Because love seeks to help the other person. Not just to leave them where they are, but love seeks to, okay, you know what? Let me help you get out of this. Let me, like, for example, the person who is the backstabbing, the cheating, this and that. Why don't I take 2 seconds and pray that God makes them an honest person? As opposed to... like that all the time and bitter all the time, why don't I take 2 minutes and really pray that God can make them into an honest person so that someone else doesn't get offended by this or affected by this or something like that. If you can't get there, you can't say you've reached forgiveness. You cannot say that you're still angry and this and that, and you've forgiven the person. Sometimes the thing that stops us from being able to do good is we're stuck on, but they hurt me. That's what people are stuck on. I would do it to Bruno Anthony, but they hurt me. I agree with you, they hurt you. But it's time to move on. Being upset about the hurt doesn't fix the hurt. I'm sorry that the bad thing happened. But being sorry, me being sorry, or you being sorry for yourself, doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix the problem. If it did, then I would say I'd be the first one. Throw a pity party for you. But it doesn't. In fact, it actually makes you worse. Because the bottom line is, you only have X amount of energy in life. All right? No one's Superman. We have this much energy and this much time. And you choose. Are you going to spend it stewing about something that happened in second grade when so-and-so did this or did that? Or are you going to let it go, man, and move on with life? Being sorry for yourself and feeling bad for yourself and they did this to me and this is not fair doesn't move you out of it in any way. But responding with good does. Some of you, when I say respond to evil with good, say that's impossible. It can't be done. The answer to that question is yes, you're right, it is impossible. It is 100% humanly impossible. But since when is impossible a limitation for what God can do? You can't do this without God. People out there can't do this. Can't. Can't really do this without tapping in to a kind of love, a reservoir of love that can do it. And the only one that can do that is God. If you're not being filled by the love of God, you can never do step two. You may be able to do step one, but you'll never be able to do step two. You certainly won't even get close to step number three. Because it's hard to forgive, but it's even harder to, like, do good for the other person. Third step. First step was not respond evil. Second step was actually give good. The third step is to repeat the process as long as necessary. What I mean by that is, you may have expended all your energy to not retaliate against this person and then actually do something good for them. What's the next step? Am I done? No, get up the next day and do the same thing. Get up the next day and do good for them. Get up the next day and pray for them. Get up the next day, and if someone else offends you, go through the same cycle all over again. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Again, like I said in the beginning, there's no such thing as a relationship that lasts without forgiveness. Many relationships die because they can't get this one. There can be forgiveness once, twice, three times, but after that, enough. So the relationship has to die because there's going to be offenses. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. One time, our Lord Jesus Christ had a dialogue with St. Peter. And St. Peter was asking him a question about forgiveness. Look what he said. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Let's try to understand what's going on right here. St. Peter is asking this question in, like, a sincerity of heart kind of a way. No. He's asking this in, like, an arrogant, kind of like a cocky kind of a way. Think what he's saying. He's saying, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Like, how many times is that, like, he's putting it on that guy. How many times is that guy going to continue to be an idiot and be a jerk and to do all this kind of bad stuff and I just have to forgive him? Seven times? When he says seven, it's significant. The Jewish law said that when someone sins against you, you must forgive them up to three times. And if you did three times, you did your duty. St. Peter's saying, you know, the Jewish law says three times, but this guy's such a jerk and I'm such a good guy, I'm willing to double the three and add one for good measure. So I'm willing to forgive him seven times. Now, what do you think about that, Lord? Give me praise in front of everyone. That's the kind of how St. Peter's asking. What's our Lord Jesus Christ's response? Was he impressed by St. Peter's show of forgiveness? Was he impressed by being able to forgive someone seven times? He says, "Look here, buddy. I ain't saying you forgive seven times, but 70 times seven." What he's saying is, forgive as often as you are offended. Okay? He's saying seven times, while it is double what most people would do, and even one plus on top of that, it ain't even close to the kind of forgiveness that A, I give you, and B, I'm asking you to give to your brothers and sisters who are around you. Forgiveness is needed, quite simply, as long as you're in have relationships with people, that's the limit of how long forgiveness needs to go. So you can stop forgiving once you have become a hermit and just live in a cave and don't deal with anyone. But until you get to that point, there needs to be forgiveness. What I'm trying to say here is, forgiveness is a decision that you must make every single day. I leave my house, I'm ready for whatever. This guy does something, I make a decision that I'm going to forgive them. If it takes me one day to forgive, so be it. If it takes me a week, so be it. If it takes me a year of praying for them and blessing them and doing good to them, then so be it. I must do whatever it takes to be able to forgive this person. You know what a good step to help this is? An important step in this process is confession. Okay? Confession is very, very important to maintaining the long-lasting forgiveness. Why? Because when I go to confession, I'm reminded very simply of all the bad stuff that I've done to others and to God. And if I don't have a time of confession and repentance that's regular, believe me, we have very selective memories. Okay? We choose to remember only the good about ourselves. And we don't remember all the bad stuff that we've done. And if we're not regularly examining ourselves and having time for repentance and confession, it's going to be very easy for me to think that I pretty much do everything right, and that guy's a jerk, and that guy did this, this, and that. And that's why it's going to be hard for me to forgive them. So confession gives me a sense of my own need for forgiveness, and it makes it a lot easier to give to another person. The other thing is that what confession does, like there's a psychological and like emotional component here, that when you get it out of your mouth, it gets it out of your system. Okay? It's hard to say that it's out of my system if it hasn't come out my mouth. Alright? There's like a purging process that allows you to close the chapter on it. In the end, forgiveness, relinquishing my right to get even, not doing bad. On top of that, doing good, blessing, praying, doing good to those who hate you, and blessing those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. And then number three, to continue it as long as needed. Sound easy? Sound like fun? Sound like something you all just want to rush out here and just go forgive and forgive, 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 and it's an easy thing and it's a fun thing? Probably not. But the reminder for you, every time you pray the Our Father, I want you to remember that when you are praying the Our Father, you are saying, please God, forgive me for this thing that I did, the same way I forgave so-and-so for what he did. And if you're not willing to forgive that person, what you are doing is just heaping condemnation on, and it's from your mouth. Okay, God is not forcing it on you. You're asking. You're saying, please, I'm begging you, please. You're praying it 100 times a day, please forgive me the same way I forgave my mom for this, and my dad for that, and my brother for this. Wait a minute. Are you sure you want to be saying them words? Either you need to stop saying the words or fix the forgiveness. The other thing why you need it is because if you want to be Christ-like, and that's how we started this whole series, being a Christ-like individual, like there's no characteristic that separates Christ from everyone else in the whole wide world more than forgiveness. It's what separates our God from everyone else in the whole wide world is that he's a forgiving God. And what should separate his children from everyone else's children is that we are forgiving children as well. Before we finish, I want to show you just a little video illustration right here.
How often am I supposed to forgive? I'm not really asking for an answer. I guess just an opportunity to come clean. How often do I forgive the gossiper in my life? How often do I forgive the exaggerator? The outright liar? How often do I forgive the non-stop talker in my life, the interrupter, or person who sits around and does nothing? How often do I forgive a boss who's demeaning, a coworker who's after my job? How often do I forgive my mother for all she did or didn't do? My father for all he said or didn't say? My brother? My sister? How long is my mental list of hurt feelings? How far back does the account of wrong suffered go? How many people do I mumble to myself about, mentally rehearsing the scene where I tell them off and expose them to the world? How many times do I hear bad news about someone who's hurt me and I'm glad because, after all, they had it coming? Forgive me for all the times I haven't forgiven, for all the times I've only partially forgiven, grudgingly forgiven, or self-righteously forgiven. Help me to forgive others the way you've forgiven me, not for a moment, but for a lifetime. Not seven times, every time.
If you look at all this forgiveness stuff, and you realize its importance, and you realize the difficulty associated with it, one last thought that I'll leave you with. The key to keeping yourself motivated to forgiveness is to remember how much you've been forgiven, as the video said right there. And remember what God has forgiven you, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. If you struggle with forgiveness, I urge you to memorize this verse and to repeat it 100 times a day until it's really sunk in. And remember that God forgave you, not because you deserved it, not because you asked for it, not because you persuaded him into it, or you really, really promised that you would never do it again. He forgave you simply by his grace. And now it's your turn to go and do the same for others. Okay? Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Lord, for this beautiful reminder that you gave us about how much you've forgiven us. And reminding us, dear Lord, that no matter what we can ever do to forgive others, it's not even like a drop in the ocean compared to what you've forgiven us. Lord, we've sinned against you time and time again, and I know myself and everyone here knows that we have done the same sin that we promised you like 1,000 times that we'd never do again. You never rebuke us, you never punish us, you never destroy us, but you're always there with open arms to forgive us. I pray, dear Jesus, that as we finish up this love series, that you would help us to leave here as loving people, ready to forgive and willing to forgive anyone and everyone, not one time, not two times, but as many times as it happens, dear Lord, even up to 70 times, seven times. I pray that this forgiveness is not just like an action, but more of a lifestyle. And I know, dear Lord, that when God's people is full of forgiveness and you can fill us by your love and your forgiveness, I know, dear Lord, that the world will never be the same and our family will never be the same and our relationships will never be the same. And everything won't be the same. Thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your infinite compassion. Thank you for this beautiful reminder that you gave us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us all leave here filled by your love in a special way this day. I ask all this in the name of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.